Welcome to Maru Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
I invite you to remain standing now for the reading of God's Word from Exodus 20, verse 15. Listen now for the Word of the Lord. You shall not steal. It's the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One thing about the Ten Commandments, they are short, aren't they, as we preach them one by one. And I'm glad to be with you back from vacation. I'm grateful for Jonathan and Kara's story. What an amazing morning we've had. I think Jonathan used his third hand today to play the meditation for us. And he told me earlier this is one of the hardest pieces that he's ever had to learn. So we're grateful for your hard work for us. And choir, thank you. You've prepared us for Friday, and we know it's going to be glorious. Thank you so much. Always does a great job, the choir does for us. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we prepare our hearts now to share in the reading and the hearing now and the proclamation of your word, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Do a good work among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Grateful to be back, grateful to be with you for the Ten Commandments, and we're tackling commandment number 8 today. Grateful for Reverend Brandy Stevens, who tackled number 7, thou shall not commit adultery, last week, and did a masterful job with a very difficult text, keeping us in the sermon series. Today, we'll be tackling you shall not steal, as you've just heard, and at first pass, we might be quick to think, well, this one really doesn't apply with me. I don't have a problem with stealing, and I'll just give it some time. We'll let the Holy Spirit be active here as I work through the text and expand the meaning of stealing for us today. But also, I think we have all been victims in some regard of stealing. And in today's world, where we have so much cyber activity going on, we lay prey to lots of schemes and all kinds of things going on. And it's led to a distrust. And I think that's where God is going in this. When you bring stealing into a community, it brings distrust. It breaks down the social relationships. It brings cynicism and disloyalty. And that was certainly not good for the people of God, and certainly not good for us as well. I discovered through my study this week that the Federal Trade Commission, Bureau of Consumer Protection, reports that 608 million people a year experience some kind of loss of money due to some kind of scam. Maybe it was fraudulent online shopping, something that sounded too good to be true. I'm sure you've gotten those text messages offering you very wonderful positions with great pay. I'm sure that if you'd say yes to that, next we want to know, well, we just need your social security number to get you set up, right? And so we are aware of those things. And of course, investment scams take a lot of money from people as well. Estimated losses in the world, $5.7 billion stolen a year. About 7,000 people in the United States are experiencing some kind of scam and loss of income every day. So it is a very big operation, and it's unfortunate that that is how people choose to make a living. So I just want to share again my conviction. It puts us on alert. It makes us more distrustful. It makes us more cynical. And in today's digital world, we recognize theft has always been in the world, but now it really impacts us almost daily. We have to have our guards up. Well, whether we're dealing with the hassle of it, whether we're spending money on computer firewalls to keep people out of our business or security systems for our homes, there is an expense to preventing theft. And that is something that could be used, money could be used in better ways for the blessing of the community. Well, I want to put this in context, because as we look at the Ten Commandments, if you were to read the book of Deuteronomy, you would find that that's really the constitution of God's people as they came into the Promised Land. And then you have the book of Leviticus, or the Levitical Code. And in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus, you will find a further explanation of what does it mean to steal. And so I'm going to highlight some of those so that you might understand what the people would have been instructed to. And we are still instructed in the Bible today. Taking physical property from another person, that seems very obvious. But this one was interesting, cheating your neighbor by weights and measures. So in a day where there was bartering and you would trade maybe some of your grain for something for fish, and they would use their scales to do this. If you would have imbalanced scales to your advantage so that as you made these trades, you would be winning out, you would be considered stealing from your neighbor. I thought this was interesting. Withholding wages from hired workers overnight. So if you were an employer and you had day workers and you did not pay them at the end of the day, you were stealing from them, because most of them may have been dependent upon taking that money, going directly to the market, buying food for their families. And by withholding that payment until the next day, you were hindering and harming their families. It was considered stealing. It's spoken of in God's word. Lack of integrity when finding something lost or buried as a treasure. We know they didn't have banks in those days like we do today. They didn't have safety deposit boxes. If you had something that was important to your family, oftentimes it would be buried in a field or hidden in a house. And sometimes those things would get lost as people moved or people died. You remember Jesus telling a parable about if you come into a field and you find a great treasure, and then you're not just to take it, right? You're supposed to put it back and then go buy that field and then come back and take the treasure that was a part of that land. Also, I found it interesting to discover as I did my studying that you are not to steal people. And so sometimes children or people were stolen by others. And then we think of today, trafficking of individuals is still a very, very big world problem that we face today. Friends, it is stealing as well. One thing that is consistent in all is it comes down to a matter of integrity. Will you be honest with the core values that you hold to the biblical worldview and the teachings that you hold as a Christian? Will you waffle on that, or will you say no to the rationalizations or justifications that sometimes we hear? Oh, everyone does it, no one will miss it, or it's not that big of a deal. Taking this commandment seriously reminds us that any kind of stealing betrays our trust in God for providing for us, and it is related to the cousin sin, if you will, of greed. If we also steal from others, we are denying love for them, we are not respecting them, we are not showing concern towards them. And so a good way to check in on any activity that might be questionable is to ask yourself the question, am I loving my neighbor right now as I love myself? That is a great question to ask. Now, friends, when I was in middle school, we came home from family vacation and we found that our home had been burglarized. I was probably about 13 years of age, found that the doorknob had been busted. They pushed through the door and broke the chain. That was before we had deadbolts in our house. But soon after that, we sure had deadbolts in our house. But I remember, you know, things that were stolen, the television, stereo equipment, my mother's jewelry, and things that were taken from our home. But for the first time in my life, I felt victimized. And for the first time, I experienced as a child that my home was not a safe place. I even remembered having feelings that night, that as I lay down in my bedroom, that maybe those individuals would come back now that they knew that we were home and try to take more things. I was scared. And I think that is part of the problem of sin. It violates people. It violates what others have and the respect that we are to have. And it creates a fear in our community. For me as a child, that moment, there was a sense of innocence that was lost. Research shows, friends, that the amount of money spent on home security this past year was $58 billion. And it is projected by 2030 that it will be $100 billion. We are trending in a negative way. We are trending in fear that we are going to be violated, that we are having things, even packages, lifted off of our front doors. And so we have security cameras. In fact, 50% of Americans today have some kind of camera in their home or at their doorbell so that they are watching what is happening around their homes. Stealing just has a different look than it does today, but what concerns me is that we are growing more in our fear, and we also are probably hindering the mental health of the community, especially our children who might be fearful as well. Well, we are very thankful for Colin Smith's book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. It's been a good resource behind the scenes in the sermon series. And one of the things as he does is he broadens our understanding of stealing. So here's his definition. If you are considered more about getting as much as possible for yourself while giving as little as possible to others, then maybe that would be considered stealing. He adds, being a person who takes from others, but does not necessarily give to others. Now that kind of broadens the definition pretty wide. And I want us to begin to think about, are we somebody who has a reputation as being a taker of things, even if we have the right to them, or are we more of an individual who is known for our giving and our generous heart, reflecting the faith of God in us and our generous God that we follow? So let's open our minds to this possibility, giving and taking, talking about being employees for just a moment. Do you steal from your employer if you are still working full-time? Do you arrive late, leave early, expand work to fill time? Do you spend time on social media or private business while you are being paid to do the work for another? Studies are now showing that the average worker is spending 1 hour to 1.5 hours during a workday answering social media, checking on Facebook, looking and responding to text messages at the expense of the productivity of their employer. So we ask ourselves also this question, is how I work matter? Does the work that I do reflect the integrity? Many people think that your workplace is your loudest testimony, where you spend a lot of your work week at doing your job. So let's turn the tables here and talk about employers, because employers are thought of and spoken of in the Deuteronomy text and Leviticus as well. So I am grateful, let me just say, to people who own businesses, to people who make profits, who hire employees to work for them. I'm grateful to them because they take the risk, they put the capital up front, they make the hard decisions, they have the visions, they solve the problems, they get paid for their responsible jobs. And I would say also, as I did my research this week, I learned that 20% of new businesses every year fail. And after 5 years, 50% of new members, new businesses are gone. And within 10 years, 65% of new businesses are no longer in business. That means that only 35% of those who step out and start businesses and begin to employ others for their product or whatever they're selling or their service are actually remaining in business. Let's be thankful for those that are Christian business owners who, as I've known through my 35 plus years of full-time ministry in all kinds of churches, big and small, who've been so faithful, so godly. They saw that their employer, that their employees were a gift to them that they wanted to take care of. They knew that they needed them, and they responded by being very good with them, making sure that they had adequate pay and were always making sure that they were working and had good working situations. But they knew that they were giving to the community by the business that they were running, jobs and employment and opportunity and scholarships. And so those are the individuals I would call the givers. But then there are the takers. There are those who go into business to make money for themselves. And they seek the highest gain for themselves to keep expenses low. They may outsource their work to make greater profits for themselves. These are the individuals that are the takers in life. I probably wear clothing that at one time would have been made in America, but now is produced in a third world country by men and women and children who are paid very, very low wages. So shareholders and business owners can make even more and more money. I know that it's a very complex situation to meet the bottom line, but I'm concerned that we take so much from other countries and we never put money back into countries. That's why, friends, I'm excited to hear the news of the Amazing Grace Church in Tanzania, our sister church. I want to share that they are going back into the courtroom tomorrow, so we'll be praying for Alfred Najau and Amazing Grace Church tomorrow. But I wanted to say that they have begun to raise crops on their property at the church, and they are training the church members to harvest those crops, and they are making sure that they sell those crops to make money for the church. And I love that because we want the church to be sustainable, and we're seeing that good things are happening with that. And I was pleased at annual conference to see that the Global Methodist Church is actually teaching through a workshop that I went to, a book called When Helping Hurts by Steve Corbett, talking about going in and creating sustainable business, helping a church match up with another church in the United States, but sharing of resources and education and letting a church build a business or help them raise crops or cattle or something that could help them build some income for that church. So they're not so reliant on the Western churches. What a great vision, what a great model, still being worked out. But friends, just in light of that, here's some scriptures to think about. Colossians 3:23 says, wherever you go, whatever work you do, do it with all your heart as if you were working for the Lord and not for people. That applies for the employee as far as well as the employer. We work for the Lord. God is the one who stewards us with business. God is the one who stewards us with wealth, and we work for God, not for money. Ecclesiastes 9:10 states, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your heart. And I love this quote that I've shared before from Martin Luther King Jr. Facing the challenge of a new age was his speech. If it falls on your lot to sweep streets in life, then sweep those streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. And sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, and sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry, and sweep streets so all will know in heaven and in earth, and they will praise and pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. Friends, that's the vision of being a good steward of what God has given us to do. And so here's, I've been thinking about this idea of other ways of stealing, and I just want to confess to you, I'm not going to drag this out, but back in high school, I don't know if I'm going to touch or step on anybody's toes, but back in high school, my friend had an awesome record collection. I envied it, right? But I also made cassette tapes for free of his records. And by doing so, I was stealing the royalties from incredible musicians who made those products to be purchased. And friend, there's other things that are happening today. When we borrow a Netflix subscription that's not ours, or we take advantage of business discounts that we're not really entitled to, we are stealing and should be concerned about a God who is always watching and always wants purity in our hearts. Ephesians 4:28 that Brandy read says this, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. They must work. Why? So that they can make something useful with their hands, feel good about being a part of a contributing society, and then also, lastly, the scripture says, so that they can give to others in need. God's vision is that we become givers, not takers. And that's why I think this provision has been made. And let me just say this, Malachi 3:8-10, you've heard this before, talks about if we do not tithe that which has been entrusted to us, it says we are robbing God. Wow, that's a challenging text. But it's a reminder to us that sometimes stealing can be as natural as just keeping it all for ourselves rather than God's vision of using the resources that have been blessed and given to you to bless others that are in need that would benefit from your giving. So I share that as a close to remind you, are you a giver or are you a taker? And as we celebrate Independence Day this week, let us celebrate the people who are givers. Let us celebrate the people, not just American heroes who founded this country. We can celebrate them, and we will celebrate them on Friday. But let's celebrate the heroes of Tyler, Texas, and East Texas. Let's celebrate those who served on city council and as our mayors. Let's celebrate those who have started non-for-profits, who have served on boards. Let's celebrate those who start scholarship for college students to get an education that's affordable. Let's celebrate all the ways people give in this community, so that we can have a better life and so that we can glorify God. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be counted, not as a taker. I want to find my place among the great givers. And there are so many of you here in this church, and I thank you for your witness. It inspires me. Let us continue to be great givers here at Marvin Church. The church, though, is a place for new beginnings. So if something has convicted your heart today, if the Holy Spirit has some way touched you to say, you know what, I need to get right, I need to correct this in my life, then know that the disease of sin has been given the prescription of Jesus' blood for the forgiveness and the repentance that you can turn away from the wrong ways and follow God again, leading by the Holy Spirit, gifted by the presence of the gifts in you. You can make a contribution to others. You can be a giver rather than a taker. Which one are you, a giver or are you a taker? Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.